Amen. Let us turn to the Holy Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 1269 in the Bibles under the seats. And just as you're turning there, I'll say word about the outline. You know that, many of you know that sometimes I put 4 points in the outline and we only make it to three. Well, sometimes we put 3 points in the outline and we only make it to two. So we're going to have a 2 point sermon this morning. And we're only going to make it to verse 5. And so our scripture reading is also a little bit different. We're going to start for context with the last two verses of chapter 3. So we're going to begin our reading at 2 Timothy 3:16, and then we'll read through the first 5 verses of chapter 4, and we'll focus on that first portion of 2 Timothy 4. So we begin our reading, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So far, the reading, the Holy Word of God. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, many things go in seasons. There's a good season to plant seeds, and many of you know that very well. There is a bad season to plant seeds. There's a good season to go skiing when there's snow on the ground and it's cold enough. And there's a bad season to go skiing. And we can go on and on. There are seasons of the year which are better for one thing or another. There are seasons of life which are better for one thing or another. There are some things that you simply do not ask the very old to do. There are some things which you do not ask the very young to do. Seasons of the year, seasons of life. This is true for many things. It is not true for the preaching of the Word of God. There is never a bad season. Now, the language of the text speaks about in season and out of season. What does that mean? It means that there will be seasons when there is especially opposition to wanting to hear the true preaching of sound doctrine. But a true preacher will not be influenced by this, because the Word itself is always in season, always what is needed. That in season and out of season, it just refers to the attitude of the hearers. It does not refer to the authority of the Word. Now, the Word is to be preached. It is always to be preached. All of the Word is always to be preached. And so, preachers and hearers again take the center stage.
as that is an ongoing focus throughout 1 and 2 Timothy. The preacher is addressed, especially in verse 1, 2, 5. The hearers are addressed, especially in verses 3 and 4. And as we look at this, and that's going to be our two points, preach the word, verses 1, 2, and 5, hear the word, our second point, verses 3 and 4, and our theme, we're really not going to focus on the coming appearance, and so we have a very simple three words theme this morning, love Christ's word. Love Christ's word. Well, we begin with the focus on the preacher in this very personal letter, even more personal than 1 Timothy. The charge is given. The charge from the apostle, the preacher, Paul, to the younger minister, New Testament minister, Timothy, I charge you, preach the word. The preacher is not his own man. The ruler of his labor is plainly known. The rules of his labor are plainly laid out. The ruler is Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, the head of the church. The ruler is plainly known. And the charge is given in the presence of Jesus Christ, for Jesus is God and Jesus is everywhere present. And so whenever a minister is charged, is called to take the vow of ministry and to have the laying on of hands, that is always done in the presence of Jesus Christ. We'll look at the following verses more next week, Lord willing, but just to say, the Apostle Paul will not be here much longer. But Jesus Christ is always with us. Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. And every charge to a minister is given in the presence of Jesus Christ. Every minister is to labor with that presence of Christ, not the attitudes of the age, as that which is always impressed upon him. He is to be ruled by the ruler. And the rules are plainly laid out. They are all Scripture. This is one of those places where the chapter division is not very helpful. In general, they're helpful and they get us from one part of Scripture to another. But again, they're not original, and there are times when we just have to remember the chapter divisions are not always helpful. This is one of those times. The rules are all Scripture. The ruler is plainly known. The rules are plainly laid out. This is what a minister is called to do. Why should hearers ever listen to a preacher? You know, when I was first called here, I was like 25 years old, 26. Why would people gather together and just listen to what a 26-year-old man has to say? There is no reason. The only reason why you should ever listen to anything from this pulpit is if it's a faithful proclamation of those rules from all Scripture. A faithful proclamation taking us to the ruler, Jesus Christ. Now, can it be helpful if a minister has wide life experiences? Can it be helpful in the giving of applications and illustrations? It can be. Can it be helpful if a minister is eloquent? It's not wrong if a minister is eloquent. We might think of the first famous preacher of the early church. His name was Apollos. He was known to be especially eloquent. That can be a gift to the church. It can be a gift to have an eloquent preacher. We can rejoice in that when we see that. It could also be a distraction. What was going on in Corinth? That was one of the places where Apollos had preached. And what happened? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The eloquence of the minister, the personality of the minister became one of the distractions that the church in Corinth had to deal with, along with many other things. And so one of the first things that the Apostle Paul says to them is, some say I am of Cephas, some say I am Paul, some say I am of Apollos. And it should not be. A minister might have wide life experiences. He might be eloquent. Those things can be a blessing. Those things can be a distraction. What matters is this. Does he preach the word? Is he guided by all of Scripture? And is he taking us to the ruler, Jesus Christ? That is why we gather together. I'm going to get ahead of ourselves a little bit, thinking about tonight's sermon. There's a number of similarities between the church and the synagogue, and there's especially these two things which are plainly revealed in the Word of God. It's a place where the people of God gather weekly, and it's a place where the Word of God is read and where the Word of God is preached. This is why we gather together. This is what the preacher is called to do. Preach the word. Now that's the first command. There's a whole series of command verbs between verse 2, and then there's another series in verse 5. Preach the word is the first command, and then there's a number of other commands that flow from that, are related to that. So look at the middle of verse 2. He must reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Notice that the last word, exhort, that's more positive. It's more related to positive encouragement. The first two are more negative. It's more related to saying things like, you know, do not do this. Now, we read all of Scripture together. So we can't go to this one verse and say, oh, for every one positive word that Timothy ever said, he had to say two negative words. No, okay, that's taking it too literally. This is one verse in the context of all of Scripture. But we can say this. When there would be a minister who thinks that he should never speak a word of correction, that is wrong. And we're going to focus on the hearers in our second point. But if there's a hearer who thinks that he should never hear a word of correction, that is wrong. Timothy's ministry is to include negative words, reprove and rebuke, and positive words, exhort, encourage, strengthen. And then how are these words to be proclaimed? It is not just what you say, it is how you say it, with complete patience and teaching. See that at the end of verse 2, with complete patience and teaching. When words of encouragement and rebuke are given, it must be patiently given, gently given. It is a great sorrow when a theologically correct word is spoken harshly without love. That is a great sorrow. With complete patience and teaching, of course, implies right teaching, sound doctrine teaching, teaching according to the Word. It is a great sorrow when somebody would say something very, very kindly sounding, but it would be theologically wrong. It would be a theological falsehood. That is also a great error. There must be encouragement, rebuke, reproof, and it needs to be given with complete patience and teaching. It needs to be loving. It needs to be true. It is both what you say and how you say it. A true word spoken like a rusty fork without patient love, well, that is wrong. A false word spoken like a fluffy feather, and we're going to see that that's just an extension on the image of the text when we get to our second point. A false word spoken like a fluffy feather, well, that is wrong. And so let's flesh this out a little bit. Let's give some specific examples. What if a preacher says, God made us male and female, you cannot just pick what you are. But then that theologically correct word is delivered without any patience, without any love, without any compassion. And so then the one who would struggle with that sin, being surrounded by the message that you can choose whatever you want and everything, the person who struggles with that is corrected without any patience, without any compassion. And then they're left to feel as though it's impossible to struggle or whatever it is. That would be an unloving ministry. That is not what Timothy is called to. And then, what if, because this principle does not just apply to ministers, what if any of us in a situation to bring a word of encouragement to another brother or sister in Christ, or to speak a word in whatever authority position we have, such as the authority position of parents, what if any of us would not follow this principle? What if a parent says, you know, God has told us not to steal. You cannot take that toy straight out of your sister's hand. But then it's delivered in all kinds of anger, without any patience, without any love. That is not how we're called to correct. But then, what if the tone of voice is smooth? As smooth as the serpent in the garden long ago. And says something about God. In some way speaks in the name of God and refers to things that God has said. But like the serpent of long ago, twists those words, takes them out of context. And so we'll stick with the example from a minute ago. What's just one verse so often taken out of context today? Galatians 3:28. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And just to rip that out of the context of, we are all dead in the law, we need Jesus Christ to fulfill the law, Galatians 3:11-14. Rip it out of the context that Jesus is our only deliverer, our only Savior, and that we are all bond or free, Jew or Greek, male or female, equally sinners before Him in need of His grace, and just rip it out of that context and say, oh, look, see, you can do whatever you want. And maybe say it with all kinds of tenderness. Very smoothly. You know, a serpent slithers very beautifully. It's biblical to speak about how beautiful the action of a slithering serpent is. Solomon wonders at the beauty of a slithering serpent. It's good to speak in a gentle tone, to give patient correction. But it is evil to speak a gentle and smooth lie. Now before we get to verses 3 and 4, let's look a little bit at verse 5. Again, there's a series of commands. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Enduring suffering, that's a repeated theme in this letter. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let's just look briefly at those two and we'll work backwards. Fulfill your ministry. Now the preaching of the word as God's people gather together, that's central. But it is not the only thing that the minister is called to do. He has a whole ministry. There are many things that the minister is called to do. And then that takes us working backwards to number 3, do the work of an evangelist. The minister is called to proclaim the word in a special way to the sheep, the flock of God gathered together. He's also called to be involved in special and direct ways in the seeking out of wandering sheep. And fulfill the work of an evangelist, he is also called in a special and direct way to be involved in proclaiming the word to gather new sheep into the fold. Preach the word. Do the work of your ministry, and the work of a minister involves many things. And maybe you're thinking, wow, that sounds like hard work. Yes, it is hard work. Remember that series of pictures about the hard work of the ministry back in chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Share in suffering as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who has enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say. Again, those are words related especially to, in this letter, the work of ministry that Timothy is called to do. So in all of these things, preaching and ministering and encouraging the flock gathered together, seeking out the wandering sheep, the work of an evangelist to gather in new sheep. This is the calling of Timothy. This is the work of the preacher under the ruler by the rules of all Scripture, beginning with this command, preach the word. Well, brothers and sisters, the hearers are very plainly addressed in verses 3 and 4. Let's come to that. Let's come to our second point. Because will faithful preaching always be appreciated? No. That's what that phrase in season and out of season was all about. The word is always in season, but the hearers do not always want it. One of the oldest Christian letters we have, one of the oldest writings of the early church, apart from Scripture itself, is some of the writings of Clement of Alexandria. He speaks about this text and this problem. People do not want to hear the word of God. Clement of Alexandria, he was born around 150 A.D. And brothers and sisters, from one generation to another, there are out-of-season times and out-of-season places where the attitude of the hearers is, I don't want all of Scripture. I do not want it. The time is coming, verse 3, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears will accumulate to themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And all of this is deliberate. They will, verse 4, turn away from listening to the truth. Remember in the Old Testament, one of the primary words about repentance is the Hebrew word for turn. Well, what will happen in the hearts and minds of false hearers? They will not want to repent. They will not want to turn to the Word of God. They will not want to turn to Christ Jesus, whom the Word proclaims. They will not want the rules. They will not want the ruler. They will not want to hear that they are sinners, saved only by Him, the ruler of the dead. The judge of the living or the dead, Jesus Christ, they don't want to hear about that. They do not want the gospel. They do not want to know that they are sinners in need of a Savior. They will turn away from listening to the truth. Will they have anybody that they can listen to? They can accumulate to themselves. They can accumulate to themselves false teachers. And what is one of the main ways that a false teacher who still claims to be preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, what is one of the primary ways that a false teacher claims to preach in Christ's name, but then brings that false word, that not full word, that untrue word? Well, it's that picking and choosing. I already gave one example of that, Galatians 3, verse 28. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. This is the example of our day. This is if there's one chapter and one verse, it might either be Galatians 3 verse 28 or probably even more, it's Matthew 7 verse 1. And this is the mode, this is the operation of false teachers. Look, I'm preaching the word. Matthew 7 verse 1, judge not that you not be judged. And that's it. Right? That's all we need to hear. We just stop right there. And forget about the fact that the next handful of verses make it plain that what's going on here is the fact that you need to judge yourself because you are a sinner. And then you can see clearly to judge others. Take the speck out of your brother's eye once you see the log in your own eye. Forget about the fact that maybe this is a place where chapter divisions is helpful. Because what can we say? Just stay in this chapter. Just stay in this name's chapter and go another half a dozen verses down. And what do we read? Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And again, stay in that very chapter. What does Jesus warn about? Chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now there, the picture is very, like, they're very intense. Right? They're these ravenous wolves. In 1 Timothy, as we go back to our text, the picture is actually, it actually emphasizes what we want them to look like, and the picture is very different. It's that picture of, they're the false teachers who you accumulate to yourselves, because why? Because you have itching ears. That's that phrase in the middle of verse 3. The word there for itching, it could be translated tickling. You have tickling ears. You just want to be tickled. And so we can expand this just a little bit. And, you know, picture, you know, someone's got this little fluffy feather, and it's not gonna puncture. It's not gonna penetrate. It's not gonna do anything. It just kind of tickle the ear. Fluffy feather theology. They will accumulate to themselves false teachers. It is so terribly easy to find fluffy feather teaching. You can go on YouTube and you can find a teacher who says whatever you want. And if you still want to pretend that you believe in God, you can find a teacher who says whatever you want in the name of Jesus Christ. And they'll pick this verse, and they'll pick that verse, and they'll pick this verse, and they'll pick that verse, and they'll just start tickling. And they will say whatever you want. But you don't have to go to YouTube. You can get it in person if you want. There is a fluffy feather Reformed church or a fluffy feather Baptist church in basically every town in the United States now. Now that's not usually the sign they put on the front yard. They don't usually say fluffy feather Baptist church or fluffy feather Reformed church or fluffy feather Presbyterian church, but that's what it is. Come here and we will tickle you however you want. It is so dangerously easy to find. Now there's also Rusty Fork Reformed Church. Right? We'll preach the truth, but it's going to be delivered without any patience, without any love, without any kindness. But while Timothy is reminded of both his need for complete patience and his need for teaching, sound teaching, the focus for the hearers is on the fact that you can go and you can find somebody who will say whatever you want. And you can accumulate to yourselves this kind of teacher, this kind of self-proclaimed preacher. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God should never be a feather. You only have to turn over a few pages. 2 Timothy, Titus, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. It's only a handful of pages or so from 2 Timothy. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account, Christ Jesus, the judge of the living and the dead. We must be pierced to the heart. We must know that we are sinners. And then, it is my prayer that this would be a church that would live to the name of the sign on our front lawn. What a beautiful word grace is. Because it speaks both to the reality that we are sinners. We need grace. And to the truth that there is salvation for sinners. Does that beautiful acronym in the English language of the word grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. He is the judge of the living and the dead, and He Himself died for you. Whatever your sins are, sins that the age is struggling with as a whole, sins that are different from what other people seem to be struggling with here or there or somewhere else. Whatever your sin is, Christ died for sinners. When you are pierced to the heart and you repent and you trust in Him, you have His riches, because the judge of the living and the dead died for sinner and lives for sinners. He rose from the grave. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. And we come to the Word and we say, why would we ever want a feather? Well, I know why we want it. It's because we don't want to hear we're sinners. We are not by nature tuned. But when the Spirit opens our eyes, we want the sword. We want to be pierced, because that is the good news. It takes us to the One who was pierced for us. He is the ruler. These are His words. This is His good news. Love Him and love His Word. As long as you are on this earth, until He comes again, this is what is to be preached. This is what is to be heard. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, our Lord,